The scintillating cloud of ionized air molecules popped like a soap bubble after it touched down. "This is actually the first iron field flyer to be seen on Ometer," Timby had said, filling in as the foreign minister greeted the rear admiral. Meredith Saldana was as tall and imposing as his royal cousins, with that same distinctive nose. "Although the press cadre received special dispensation to come down last night, we had to use Ometer's own space planes, some of which are now 50 years old, with spare parts hard to come by. That's an indication of just how hard the sanctions have hit this world. It has fallen behind, both industrially and economically. But, most of all, it lacks investment. It's a situation the Cabinet is keen to remedy. We've been briefed that establishing trade missions will be a priority." The Rear Admiral and his retinue were escorted over to the President of Ometer, a smiling, silver-haired man 110 years old. The two shook hands. "There's some irony in this situation," Tim Beard said. Alcad could feel his facial muscles shifting into a small smile. "The last time a squadron commander of the Confederation Navy's 7th Fleet met the Ometan Planetary President was 30 years ago, when the entire cabinet were executed for their part in the Garrison Holocaust. Today, things are a little different." His retinal implants provided a close-up of the Rear Admiral handing a scroll to the President. "That is the official invitation from the President of the Confederation Assembly for Ometer to take up its seat again. And now you can see the President handing over the acceptance." Alcat M'Zu cancelled the channel to Collins and looked away from the counter. She poured some thick lemon syrup over her pancakes and used a fork to cut them up, chewing thoughtfully. The AV pillar next to the tea urn buzzed softly as Kelly Tyrrell nattered away. The date was seared into Alcad's brain, of course. She'd known it was coming. But even so, her neural mnemonics had to send a deluge of overrides through her nervous system to prevent her tears from falling and her jaw from quaking. Knowing and seeing were two very different things, she discovered painfully. And that ridiculous ceremony, almost designed to reopen the wound in her soul. A handshake and an exchange of symbolic letters, and all was forgiven. 95 million people. Dear Mother Mary. A single tear leaked out of her left eye, despite the best efforts of her neural mnemonics. She wiped it away with a paper tissue, then paid for her breakfast, leaving the usual tip. She walked slowly back to the St. Pelham foyer to catch a tube carriage to work. Lady Moncrief and Samuel watched her go, her left leg trailing slightly on the gravel path. They exchanged a mildly embarrassed glance. The tableau hung in Ione's mind as she stirred her morning tea. That poor woman. "I think her reaction was admirably restrained," Tranquility said. "Only on the outside," Ione said glumly. She had a hangover from the charity dinner party of the previous night. It was a mistake to sit next to Dominik Vasilovsky all evening. Dominik was a good friend and hadn't exploited that friendship either, which was refreshing. But heavens, how the girl drank! Ione watched as Lady Moncrief paid her bill and left Glover's. "I wish those agency operators would leave M'Zu alone. That kind of perpetual reminder can't make her life any easier." "You can always expel them." She sipped her tea, pondering the option, as the house chimp cleared away her breakfast dishes. Augustine was sitting on top of the oranges in the silver fruit bowl, trying to pull a grape from the cluster. He didn't have the strength. "Better the devil we know," she said in resignation. "Sometimes I wish she'd never come here. Then again, I'd hate anyone else to have her expertise at their disposal." "I imagine there are several governments who feel the same with respect to you and me. Human nature." "Maybe, maybe not. None of them has volunteered for the job." "They're probably worried about instigating a conflict over possessing her. If one made an approach to you, they would all have to. Such a wrangle would be impossible to keep under wraps. In that respect, the First Admiral is quite correct. The fewer people who know about her, the better. Public reaction to her super-doomsday weapons would not be favorable." Yes, I suppose so.